Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Community Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lose. And believe it or not, Jenna, this is the last segment already.
You're right. That flew.
Really does. And Jenna is the office manager for the North Hempstead Animal Shelter. And she is really just covering a multitude of all the stuff that goes on there. It's a phenomenal organization. And what I want to do before we go into the question is give Jenna credit for all that she does. Because this is not just a job dialing. This is a job of love, because we're dealing with human beings on the senior side, on the adopting side, you're dealing with animals. So this is not, you know, building a table in the backyard. It's really serious. We're trying to merge pets with people. And this is a lifestyle. And when they work.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
She's a matchmaker.
Coming on, this is tremendous. Go ahead, Otto.
No, I said she's a matchmaker.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of that part of it.
I had a question that you may not know the answer to this, but I'll ask it. We've had people on the show previously talking about robotic pets. And I could visualize, you know, like there are some situations where maybe financially or physically or whatever, for whatever reason, they can't handle a live pet. Does that ever come up in any conversations?
I can't say personally for me that it has. No, I can't, call me old fashioned, but I just can't see how something robotic would take the place of a, you know, warm, furry, live animal that would, you know, that's fun to cuddle. And, you know, there's just so many benefits, you know, of being in the presence of an animal.
We're actually having somebody on in reference to that, Otto.
I'm sorry, John, say that again.
We're actually having somebody on in reference to robotic animals a month from now. And it really is, it's day and night between what Jenna's dealing with, a touchy-feely that's going to sit on your lap and you know, lick your face when you're feeling bad.
Pets absolutely with seniors, they, you know, combat loneliness, you know, depression, the increased activity level, you know, it has a multitude of benefits on heart health and cholesterol. But again, you know, mobility is something to be considered. And so if you're not the most mobile person, a cat is a great option as well to have as a pet. You know, cats can be just as loving as dogs. They sometimes get a bad reputation for that, but that's not true. They can be just as loving and they require a little bit less day-to-day, you know, care.
Actually, Jenny, you did say something there just very briefly that I want to go back to. And it statistically is proven, seniors who adopt pets definitively have reduction in blood pressure, reduction in cholesterol, so many different things. Now, I'm not talking about major life changes, but when you come home and you're alone and maybe it was pouring rain and it's a beautiful day versus coming in and having a pet, whether it's a cat or a dog, jump up and down because they're happy to see you.
Right. It provides a sense of purpose, and it provides, you know, a source of unconditional love. You know, a dog will never, that's the best thing about a dog or a cat. They never judge you. They're just there to love you.
You know, the other, I mean, physically, if you have a dog and you're able, you walk. And if you didn't have a dog, you might not walk.
So exactly.
That could contribute to the blood pressure and the cholesterol as well as the mental part.
Yep.
One of the things that I read that I found very interesting is when you have a dog who you specifically or a cat, they don't think about tomorrow. They're very much into now. And I think when you get older, one of the things that's very important is to think about now. You know, thinking about tomorrow, 30 years from now, which is not going to be here, doesn't make any sense. You know, the need to think about now is reinforced because you have a dog or a cat, because that's how they work. They don't think about the future. They don't talk to you about their Social Security or, you know, whatever else you might be concerned with.
Of course.
Mental help.
It's a very big part of it. There's no question about it. And some of these things were never paid attention to years ago.
And
we do understand the benefits. You know, so in North Hempstead and other places around the country, it really behooves people to try to match up.
You know, I walk a lot, and I walk, North Hempstead has a dog park now over at Clinton Martin.
Yes.
Not Clinton Martin, Tully.
Tully, park. It's very nice.
Yeah, and it's nice, and they have it broken down. I think it's 30 pounds and under, goes in one section. There's very few people in that section, frankly. Most of them are on the other section. But what always gets me is I look, and it's very much like a bunch of people to being together. There's always the dog that's pushing all the other dogs around.
And
the owner's standing there, frankly, not doing much about it.
I know that, you know, that's my feelings on dog parks too. It's usually more of a social experience for the owners than the dogs sometimes, but it can be, you know, they can be really good. It's, you know, especially for seniors to, it's like kind of almost an excuse to get out there and socialize. And, you know, it's like a bridge for communication, starting conversations with new people. I can go on and on about the benefits.
Well, yeah, but I think the owners are responsible. That's where we go back to the responsibility. Having a pet is a responsibility.
Oh, and
part of that is controlling. It's like if you have little kids and they're running around in the supermarket, ripping everything off the shelves, you're supposed to, as a parent, control that. And as a dog owner, I think you're supposed to try to control the situation with your dog in a dog park.
That's just an editorial comment on observation. Yeah, I mean, that's what we hope. You know, everybody hopes, but that doesn't always happen, unfortunately. So it's a risk you take when you go to a dog park with your dog.
Right.
Totally agree. Actually, I know you have two dogs.
Yes. Should I grab one?
Absolutely. Introduce us.
Okay. This is Hubble. Hubble's a pug mix. He was actually found as a stray in Westbury. A police officer called and said that they found this little guy, and one of our officers came out and picked him up. He had no microchip or anything, no collar. I held my breath for 10 days because we do give the owner 10 days to find, you know, to come forward for the dog. No one ever called about him, so he's mine now.
How long have you had him, Jenna?
He came in 2016, so 5 years already. Yes, 5 years. And then Miss Freya, she might not show up on camera as well, but this is Freya. Freya was actually surrendered to the shelter pregnant in 2019. She had three beautiful little purebred pug puppies. And we found homes for all those puppies. And then my husband and I adopted her.
Wow, terrific.
Yeah. They're so funny. They make us laugh every single day.
You know, this goes back to what I said earlier in the show. Jenna, you're living your job.
Yes.
Think about it. You have two of them with you at home.
I know. Well, how could you work at the shelter and not have your own dog? You know, it's so hard not to take them all home.
I'm agreeing with you there, especially when, you know, you get so involved, you get so engrossed. And it really, as you said it earlier in the show, it's an act of love. This is not just pushing paperwork.
No. You know,
this is connecting with people, connecting with animals, and just, it's a wonderful thing you're doing.
Yeah, it's definitely a job that comes home with you sometimes, you know, because as great as the job usually is on day to day, we do sometimes deal with not so great situations, you know, and as animal lovers, sometimes that sticks with you, you know, but.
You said your husband and I, to me, that's an important thing, because if a family comes in and not the whole family's buying in on this idea.
Oh, we won't let the dog go home.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah, we require that everybody that lives in the house has to come down to meet the dog before going home, and everybody has to be on board, or we will not allow that dog to go home. It has to be a family decision. Absolutely.
I think that's important.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a tremendous point, Otto. I didn't even think of that, but you're right. One person wants the dog and the other two have no interest.
Yeah. Not a good employment.
Yeah. One thing, if you don't mind, that I just wanted to mention before, because I know we only have a few minutes left. I do also, the other part of my job at the shelter is running the humane education program, where I go into schools, I go into libraries and talk about the shelter. And, you know, a similar presentation to this, if it is with kids, I do have, you know, child friendly programs. I usually bring a dog, but I do go into senior centers. So anybody, you know, I've talked to civic associations and stuff like that before. So anyone listening that runs a group like that would be interested in having the, you know, shelter come down and do a presentation, I, you know, encourage to call, because I love, you know, I love, as you can tell, I love talking about the shelter and getting the word out, you know, about us and all the services we offer.
Is there a need for donations of any type, either financially, donating food, donating,
you know,
blankets, or?
Yeah, we're very, very fortunate. We have most of the stuff, you know, usually on a day-to-day, we have everything that we need. We will take all sorts of food and treats. We don't usually use it at the shelter, but we work with several other rescues and pantries that we can stock, and don't, you know, we can get that food into a hungry dog's mouth. But probably the best form of donation is financial, because that will go towards big shelter improvements. It will go towards medical bills. We have a fund called the Mendipaw Fund. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that's one of the Shelter Connections' most important thing that they do, is they pay for, like, for instance, right now, or we have in the past, we've had dogs that have come in with broken legs because they were hit by a car. And that's thousands of dollars of bills that the town wouldn't be able to cover. So we draw from that Mendipaw Fund from the Shelter Connection to pay for those treatments. So to make sure that fund is padded is a great thing.
Are there veterinarians that are actually employed by the town?
Not employed by the town, but contracted with the town. We do have a vet tech that's through the town on staff. She's there 5 days a week, but we are contracted with Port Washington Animal Hospital nearby.
Terrific. Jenna, yeah. We're out of time. This was wonderful. It really was. The hour flew by. The information you shared was just so wonderful. And you shared it lovingly and compassionately. And honestly, this was just, you're doing a great job there for the town and for all the people who are adopting dogs.
You've been
listening to Jenna Tudor from the North Shore Animal League, Animal Shelter, on Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.